afternoon, everybody. Kevin Broughton and Ryan Surratt coming at you from Loan Officer Impact. We are so happy to have you join us today. I'm up in the great state of Michigan. The weather's finally broke. It's about 70 degrees and full sun today, which is nice. We haven't had good weather in a while, so we're excited. And we're also very excited to have the guest that we have on. I've gotten to know this woman over the past year or so, and I think we met for the first time in Lake Tahoe about maybe 10, 12 months ago, and she's fantastic. And she's really a tribute to our industry of how to do it right. She's an incredible person as well as a professional, and she's kind, and she's nice, and she's smart, and she's hardworking, and all the attributes required for being a superstar. She encompasses all of them. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce our friend, Elizabeth Smith from Oregon. How are you, Elizabeth?
I am doing phenomenal. Happy Cinco de Mayo. It's Friday.
Yes, happy Cinco de Mayo. That's right. How's everything going for you in the great Northwest?
It's going good. It's raining. Shocker.
Yeah, real shocker, huh?
It does that a lot here, but we sure appreciate it because, you know what, it fills our lakes, it keeps us green, and it's something that as an Oregonian my entire life, you just are used to. And we sure love the sun when it comes and the rain stops. So
absolutely true.
Well,
it's funny too, because you're joining us from an actual place called Detroit, Oregon, right?
I am. Yeah, it was kind of funny when I started first talking with you and realized you were in Detroit, Michigan. And I was like, well, that's kind of interesting. But yes, I am in Detroit, Oregon, a small mountain town in the Cascades in Oregon that burnt to the ground a couple years ago and in the 2020 wildfires. And I'm up here because we're part of the community on the rebuild efforts. So I've been up here. My husband's on the city council, and we've just pretty much every Thursday, Friday, we're up here working to get things done and make sure we're getting the community back on its feet.
I love it. I love it. And congrats on your success so far this year. You know, tough market, and yet you and your crew are going at it hard every single day, and you're producing some really awesome results as far as, you know, closed loans and applications and referral sources and just everything in your business seems to be growing. And that's pretty hard to do in a condensed market. But I applaud your efforts. I know how hard you work. And I know the value you bring to your referral sources and your borrowers. And it's second to none. So congrats on all that stuff.
Thank you so much. It's definitely because of an amazing amount of support that S&P has brought to us. It's thank you and thank the whole team. Every day I wake up happy and blessed, and it makes me a lot easier for me to do my job. So I appreciate it.
Happy matters. And so, Ryan, did you have, I know we had talked briefly, why don't you start in with Elizabeth on what you were hoping to be able to share with the group of loan officers that's watching us nationwide today?
You know, yeah, excellent. Elizabeth, great point that you just said, being blessed, being with S&P every day, waking up, feeling that. That's good. You know, some loan officers that Kevin and I chat with, they don't feel blessed where they are. They feel like it's a struggle. Maybe they're beating their head against the wall type thing to get stuff done. They don't have the support. They don't have systems or even the strategy to increase their business. And so, you know, I think a good question, you know, a lot of loan officers, they're saying, should I stay or should I go? And here within the past few months, you did move, make a change. And so can you just share with us a little bit about maybe your thought process? Because that's someone in your position with your level of success, that's not an easy move, I would imagine. And so can you share with us that thinking and what helps you move you in your business?
Yeah, you know, it's, so I was with my previous employer, a very large entity, for 6 years. And the last 4 years, I was promoted to being a branch manager. I ended up with 3 branches, as a matter of fact. Throughout the Willamette Valley, I had grown it by myself. Like there, I didn't have a ton of recruiting support, but I managed to get a really great team of people together. And throughout that process, you know, you start to become extremely self-reliant. And especially the bigger the company and the more spread out it is, it becomes where you're kind of on your own. And I did a lot of things, Kevin, when we first started talking. I think I was running to take flyers to an open house for one of the loan officers or try to fix a copy machine. And I literally just felt like I was everything from the janitor to the branch manager to, you know, also originating loans. And I was exhausted. I mean, I was just exhausted, but I didn't want to let anybody down. And that you get into this mode where you're just so blindly focused on trying to do what you're responsible for on a day-to-day basis that you almost forget that there's opportunities out there where it could be different. And I think that, you know, initially there were some changes, some movements and such, and having that big of a team was hard to try to take care of everybody. And you're trying to be IT, you're trying to be marketing, you're trying to be the underwriters, the, you know, literally the office manager. And you get into a role where you can't really thrive. And although we had like $150 million a year branch, you know, we were doing quite a significant amount and our team worked really hard. At some point you run into, I think, employee frustration. You run into a situation where no matter what you're doing, you can't really provide everything. You just can't do it all on your own. So when I started to really step back and look at, you know, where we were at, what we were doing, there was, you know, everybody had a different thought process, especially in a contracting market. Some people decided to go the broker route, which I totally got that. But I've been a broker and that really wasn't quite for me. I didn't want to have to follow that many different relationships. And then I looked at some big companies and transferring. There was a huge group that left and went to another large company. And I love them. These are people I absolutely adore. I'm still friends with. And I absolutely wish for their greatest level of success. But the one thing was in the industry for 22 years, I worked at Washington Mutual. That's where I learned everything. There's the name that we just heard again recently. Yeah. I worked at Washington Mutual in a home loan center. And so I had that experience. But then I moved on to being, as WaMu was going under, it was pretty evident something was going to happen. And so I left and I went to a small community bank. And at that community bank, we were a broker. Like that's how they set it up. So from there, I went in-house lender. I went to another company, larger company, but more mid-size, and I became an in-house lender at a REMAX for 2 years. And that was in 2010, 2011, during the height of short sales and national stabilization programs and tax credits. And boy, I was learning as fast as I could because every realtor in that office was asking me questions. And so then, you know, I progressed through. I've always been in these big companies, but I've kind of run the gamut. And when I started to really have this conversation with myself to go, am I even happy anymore? And I wasn't. And it was coming across to my team. I know that. I understand that. And it came down to me having to really determine, do I stay or do I go? And having to make that decision and let go of your team, because you can't just take go, hey, by the way, I'm going to take this whole crew and get yourself in trouble with some of those, you know, non-compete clauses and things. But, you know, some came with me and some went other routes. And here is just this interesting hybrid, because when Kevin, I talked to you and I thought, this is too good to be true. You're going to tell me I get to go do loans. I'm still a branch manager, but I don't have to be the IT guy anymore. Like I can call and talk to the same IT person over and over. It blew my mind. I could talk to an underwriter. The underwriters call you to get, hey, by the way, your loan's approved, or hey, we got to tweak it this way. The whole concept, the whole culture was different. But the cool thing is, if I have to broker something, I still can. So the way this company is set up is just so different. And we joked for the first like 30 days, the team did. We couldn't get over how nice everybody was. Like, what's the catch? Why are they so nice? Like, is this going to end? And it hasn't, you know, we're months in later. And I was just talking with Krista and she's like, it blows my mind. I still feel like I'm in a fantasy land of how easy it is to do deals here. And it's just so refreshing. Loans close. I can sell this. It's a no-brainer.
Well, and thank you for all those kind words. And this isn't a commercial for joining SMP, but, you know, I think I remember the first day we met, and I'll never forget that time we were on the phone and you were delivering those flyers and going to pick up a cake and doing all this other stuff for your loan officers, which is great. But it wasn't driving your economic engine. And most of that call, you and I spoke about what are the things that you love the most that drive your economic engine that you're great at, and how could we help you focus to work 90% of your working hours on things that only check those three boxes. And How important do you think in a decision, if someone is thinking about, because like you said, moving a team, it's not like you were one loan officer doing one loan a month to come over, that, you know, you moved a whole unit and multiple people and closing millions and millions of dollars a month. Was alignment between the executive team and what your goals and dreams and desires are, is that important in this decision, or is it okay if those are two totally separate things in your opinion?
The alignment with the executive team was critical, for me at least. Now, I that may not be the case for everybody, but I would say that being able to actually have conversations with the executive team to understand the culture of the company and understand, you know, what you gave me, which was like, hey, how do you make money in this environment? How do you enjoy your life in this environment? I think was a key component for me. There's a lot of bells and whistles and there's a lot of great companies out there. Specifically for me though, it was, are they rowing in the same direction that I'm rowing in? Because if I'm not, we're going to have a battle. And I think it was, you know, it wasn't an overnight decision. I mean, I talked with you for months.
Right, right.
And I had to get to know you as a person. And I had to be like, what I was looking for was an advocate,
right,
a mentor, somebody who was really going to show up for me and be okay with saying, hey, Elizabeth, you're focused on the wrong thing. You know, you have, I think that a huge part of when you're looking for a company, and I trust me, there's some great people out there that work at other companies that I talked with as well. And, you know, they definitely are people that were in alignment, but the culture wasn't quite what I was looking for. You know, the choice I made was very heavy based on family. And, you know, I remember talking with somebody when I came to visit you guys, and I think it was the IT guy. And he told me that you ran into him in the parking lot, and he's like, yeah, he's so nice. I ran into him in the parking lot and I thought he was going to ask me to fix something on the computer. And he's like, hey, what size shirt do you wear? I have a sweater I'm going to give you. Like, that cracked me up so much, because I was like, this is more my speed. I'm a people person. I'm a family person. We joke around. We call our little group online, the teams, we call ourselves the West Coast Mafia, because we're pretty much the first West Coast people.
Yeah, and we're absolutely like, you are.
And we're like, bringing success to the West. And it was just that connection of our core values were in alignment with your core values. I'm not always going to be this. I think one of the other things is finding a company that you ask them clearly up front, what are your expectations? A lot of companies have these performance standards that in a tight market can get really difficult. And I think that knowing what that is going in and understanding how that's going to affect your business is going to be a really critical question.
So a couple of takeaways that I heard, Ryan, I assume you heard it the same way, but some important things to most people, because Elizabeth, I think, is exceptional, but there's a lot of exceptional people that might be having these thoughts. But find an advocate, find a mentor, find a culture that fits your core values. And like for you, family is a core value. And so obviously we're a family first company that kind of meshed real well together, you know, and that's not everyone's big deal, right? And that some people don't want that or aren't seeking that in a company, and that's okay too. You know, it's whatever your core values are. But I think the message I heard was, find someone that you're in alignment with, that you can have as an advocate, that you can have as a mentor, that you can be part of a culture that is what makes you more productive and more happy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. For me, I wanted less middle management, less people coming in and going. I mean, I really wanted to see people that have been here for a while and that truly saw a vision for the company and wanted to be a part of that vision. I know a lot of really great loan officers out there that are just lone wolf brokers. I've got, you know, a couple different friends of mine that are just and that's works for them. Yeah. They just don't want to be in a big group of people. They don't want to have that. So I think that it's just really truly being okay with who you are and what you want to do, because that may be, you've brought up a few different people as we've talked to Tevin, where you said some people are going to tell you flat out, hey, you know what? I'm not the cheapest rate, but I'm going to give you the best service. Yeah. Or I want 15 people on my team, but you're going to, you know, that all comes out of the bottom line profits and stuff. Yeah. So I think that what throws off most loan officers is they don't realize that they can find a place that is, that they can build around themselves and what they want. And if you go to some of the bigger companies, it's like, you do this, you report to this person, here's how you do this, this, this. I think what's been fun for me with SMP specifically is the ability to make it my own. And I think it almost, for the first couple months, I actually, when I was talking with you, I was like, Kevin, I don't understand. Tell me what you want me to do. And you're like, no, tell me what you want to do. And I'm like, huh?
Right. That was foreign to you. Right. I remember.
And loan officers, I think, you know, historically, that's not really been an option. It's, you're a broker, you're a banker, you work in a bank. And this, the concept of, you know, you have to have a regional manager and an area manager and a this and this works great for some people. I just had kind of hit the stage of my life where I'm like, no, I want to talk to the people in charge. I don't want to be the person that's writing the checks. That's not my goal. But I want to know that if I talk with you, you can give me a straight answer about what's going on in the economy, what we have to be concerned about, and how I can help my clients at the best level, but also, you know, make money for a company so we can stay in business.
Right.
Because there, as a manager, I still want to know I'm doing that. I still want to understand the dynamics. I just don't want to have to be the go-to on every little thing like I was before. Empower me to do the thing, three things I do the best.
So transparency and partnership obviously is really encompassing what you just said there.
Yeah. Tell me what's going on. Because I think this was always a big thing for me. When you tell people truly what's going on, like how things are working, why things are working a certain way, you have much bigger buy-in. And what I was able to do with our team is to come on board, and I didn't have to say, you know, hey, my processor, you're a processor, and this is all you do. Okay, you only do these things. You're a PA, you do this and this, because this is your job description per corporate. I found out my processor we brought on, she used to have her own little marketing company on the side. So I have my processor on down days helping with some marketing ideas.
Love it.
And give it, you know what I mean? So yeah,
love it.
I didn't want to put anybody into a box and say, here's your box, stay in your box. I think that limits people's true ability, their buy-in, and honestly, at the end of the day, their happiness.
Their happiness, right? Ryan, what do you got?
So one thing, I guess you made a comment about the question of what are your expectations? I think the one thing that some loan officers have to be thinking about is that they don't know what they want. I think that's the first step. I think you have to truly clarify what you want in the company that you're with or the company you want to go to. And so I think a lot of loan officers have to really pause, create a statement of clarity or a vision statement, and then find a company that can support that foundation or support that statement and give them that foundation.
Absolutely true.
I agree with that as well. And I remember you said something too, Elizabeth, about communication. And no place is perfect, right? And it's hard to communicate. You know, the larger you get, it's more difficult, I think. But I never forget this. I was sitting with your team out there in your state, and we had a very specific conversation about what rate compression means and why it exists and how it happens and what are the implications of that. And they had never heard any of that before. And I was like, how do you not know this? And I wasn't knocking them, but in my mind, I was thinking, how was this not shared with you? We had already been through about 9 to 10 months of compression. And they were looking at me like I had two heads. And then they're like, oh, my God, that makes sense. I get it now. And I'm thinking, man, they just went through 10 months not getting it. That's not really fair to them, you know. And so I heard you say communication. That example came to my mind. I think that's pretty important, I assume, as you move in. So if you look at advocacy, mentorship, culture, family, transparency, partnership, communication, those are like 7 of your biggies. And you found the place to check the box for those things. Like you said, that's not everyone's biggies, but I think the point Elizabeth is making is be authentic to who you are and what is important to you and find a group that echoes and mirrors those beliefs and actions, right?
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it may be this company, it may be that company, it may be this branch of business. You know, a lot of people, honestly, Kevin, especially the newer ones that have been in the industry, you know, 4 or 5 years, don't understand what, you know, a mortgage banker is, a mortgage broker, what a correspondent, like they have no idea. And I think that there's a level of frustration because, you know, let's be honest, 2018 hit, and then, you know, the rates fall in 2020 and COVID hit. And so there was a lot of panic, a lot of swings and emotions, markets, everything. And a lot of people just didn't get the foundational information about how the market worked.
Right.
They just got put, it's like, here's your desk, here's your phone, good luck, you're on your own, and go sell. And it became, unfortunately, in my eyes, I think that the industry as a whole became really super commoditized, like it was a commodity. It wasn't about relationships. All of a sudden, we went from being advisors, which I've always been taught to be a mortgage advisor. I mean, I go back to like the initial coaching step. I went through the Todd Duncan coaching with the Brian Buffini coaching. I've been through all of those types of coaching. And, you know, I remember when Barry Habib first started with like some of the advisory stuff. And what I found is that in that panic and in that overload of business, a lot of people just didn't slow down to understand the dynamics behind it. They just became, you know, push and play, go get a loan, go close a loan, without understanding the overall picture. And I think it's just a great time for people to step back to figure out what they want to do. Do you want to, if you want to do that, that's fine. If you want to work in a call center, that's fine. I personally am stepping back. I'm going back through my CMA stuff to get my certifications because I should be an advisor. I should be helping clients at a deeper level with their overall picture moving forward financially. That's my responsibility. That's how I view myself. And that's okay if you don't, if you look at something different, but that's where you have to determine who are you in this industry. And are you going to stay in this industry?
Right.
At the end of the day, if you're like burnt out and you don't want to do it anymore and you think, I'm just going to go get that 9-to-5 job, then go get that 9-to-5 job. Go get whatever that is going to make you happy, stabilize your family. That's okay. And so when you're going through the stay or go, make sure you even want to be in this industry.
Great point.
You know, they're going to have a harder time if you don't slow down and educate yourself and really set yourself apart as an advisor and instead of a commodity. Because those of us that are doing the advisor stuff, we're going to be able to communicate that information to clients now that we know this, because we've learned it from people who are advocating for us and that we're taking the time and we're getting the opportunity to be educated. When I pass that on to a borrower and you're just taking an order, I'm going to smoke you. Like,
absolutely.
And then what, you know? So if you want to be in, be all in.
Well, you remind me, Brian, what was that gal's name? Brittany Hodak that we had on?
Yes.
And she had wrote that incredible book. It was really a great book. And one of the sentences in there was that I stuck in my head was, some people are a commodity and some have moved into a category of one.
That's right.
And Elizabeth, you are in a category of one, and that's a special place to be. And because of your service and of your intelligence and the things that you do, yeah, you got to fight some rate battles, I'm sure, and all that. But at the end of the day, your borrower and your referral sources see you as a value add all the time. And I know that minimizes how many times you have to, you know, be fighting against maybe that guy working out of the trunk of his car for 20 bips or whatever, right? I mean, they're all out there. That, you know, we all have them in every market. But I love how you've become a commodity, a category of one. I think it's really important.
Yeah, and it's way more fun.
Way
more fun when you see the win of someone who didn't think they could buy a house, be able to buy a house, and maybe you worked with them for a year. We just closed one here actually about a month and a half ago and literally worked with this guy for over a year through credit, through income and employment and just all the stuff that we had to coach him on. But man, he's so happy and it was such an impact on his family. The realtor, I mean, we all stuck with it. And to me, that's just like the ultimate winning team. Team is a huge thing for me. I think that that's why it was big. If you went through my core values, team is huge. Like, it's one of the top things. And so it's hard to walk away from a team, especially like my back office people who I had so much adoration for. It was tough, but it was time for me to step back and evaluate what was best for me, what was best for my family, what was best for my future. And it was to, you know, kind of step away from doing a lot of that other, you know, administrative things and really get back to doing what I love, which is helping people buy homes and strategizing. I mean, you've been using the words, you know, strategic. And I think it's just become so much part of my vocabulary because it's now, what am I doing each day to be strategic in what I'm trying to accomplish, in whether it's just having a conversation with somebody and where am I investing my time instead of spending my time? I loved that. Thank you so much. And being strategic in where I'm at right now and being okay with saying, yeah, I'm not where I should be. And you compliment me and I'm like, really? I don't think like that. I don't sit there and think, oh man, I'm just killing it. I'm like, man, I should be way up here because I've been doing this for so long and there's all these newbies and they're just killing it. And what I realize is it's just because I had my focus on something else for the last 4 years.
That's right. But
this 4 years, it's time for a different focus. And it's okay to make that decision. It's okay to shift gears. I mean, you get one life. You might as well live it to the best of your ability.
I mean, right there, enough said, right? And we're kind of pushing our time frame. Ryan, you want to wrap up?
Yeah, I think this is a great episode for loan officers who, you know, one, they're trying to figure out if they're going to stay or they're going to go with their current company. But also, two, for those that are trying to figure out, is this even something they want to continue to do? And so big takeaway would be for loan officers to really clarify what they're wanting out of their mortgage origination business. And then whether it's at their current company or a different company, find someone who, I love this, who is rowing in the same direction that can be a coach and a mentor to get to the next level. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff.
I sure appreciate it. And I think that anybody who just, number one step before you start shopping for a company or making the decision if your company is good or bad or anything is to stop and ask yourself, where do you want to be? And are you happy? Because if you're not, and you're like, I've always wanted to go be a nurse. Well, then go be a nurse. There's nothing stopping you from making a decision that's best for you and your family. But you have to be really honest with yourself.
Authentic wins. And you're one of the most authentic people I know. I love who you are as a person more than I do as a professional. And I just feel great anytime I'm around you. And we got to spend a couple of days or a day together a couple of weeks ago. And that was really fun for me. And so just thank you for joining us today. Thank you for sharing your time and your expertise and your knowledge and your kindness with us. And for loan officers nationwide, if you want to talk about any of these topics, feel free to go to resultswithryan.com or growingwithkevin.com. Both of our schedules are there, and feel free to just grab a time slot and we'll talk to you about any topics helping you have a more freedom-filled life, a more fun life, and make it through a difficult market. So to both Ryan and Elizabeth, thank you guys for sharing this time with us today, and we'll see you all next week.
Be sure to visit successunlimited.us for free loan officer tools, tips, and video resources. To schedule time with Kevin, visit growingwithkevin.com.